take a moment to welcome your neighbor while the choir comes down. Thank you so very much. What a blessing. Hey, Lele, how you doing? Amen. Brenda, I'm going to do something totally different what I gave you, so you're off the rest of the time, over, okay? I'm going to do something a little different because of time and things like that, but I just feel this is what God wants me to do. I'm going to do it. Psalm 37 is where I want to call your attention to, and I'm going to pull my stool up here today. Y'all say it's because he's getting old, and you're probably right, amen, but I'm not as old as some of y'all. I didn't even call Clara's name, y'all started laughing, right? I'm kidding, amen, it's so good to be here. Psalm 37, I want to tell you, I want to do something totally different than what I normally do this morning. I prayed through this weekend, and I'm a prepared preacher. I sent everything to travel on into Joshua 7, but as I prayed through the weekend and things like that and listened to these kids' stories, and I want to say this to you parents, one, and you grandparents, thank you for investing into your child. Thank you for entrusting them to us, because I know that it's getting harder and harder to trust your kids to other people in this world. Are we right, parents? It really is. It's getting hard, and we want to be people that are worthy of your trust, and thank you for trusting us to teach them the Word of God, not apart from you, but in companionship and partnership with you. It does start at home, doesn't it, church? The church is not a place that can fix everything. But I've had people before bring their kid to me in years past, says, "My kid won't behave. Fix him, preacher." You know, and I've got 45 minutes with him on Sunday morning, maybe a little bit on Wednesday night, and there's 168 hours in the week. How much, you know, are you with me? That's it. And I've had lots of things over the years. But I just want to say a couple of those things by just way of introducing what I'm going to say. And I want to say thank you to all of our people who invest in these students, our student ministry team, Brother Chris and his team, and what a blessing they are. Church, would you thank them today for giving to the Lord? Amen. You know, it doesn't matter whether you're there helping fix a meal on Wednesday night or bringing in pizza or being a chaperone on a retreat or helping take out the garbage or whatever you're doing, these kids see you. It's like when we were at elementary school the other day, I would see some of our kids. And Devin, you won't believe this, but Sawyer was really happy to come to the snow cone table. Joey, I mean, he had this grin on his face like, "Preacher gonna fix me up, right?" And he did. And, you know, there were so many other, Merritt, and I just think about all the kids that were coming up, and Joshua's girls, and they were just like, "Hey, I know that guy," you know? And it was such a blessing to be able to do that. We even had one teacher ask us, "So why are y'all doing this?" And she was a young teacher. And it just opens the door, Brother Scott. I said, "Number one, because we love you, and we want you to know it, and we want you to know how much we appreciate what you do throughout the year investing in these young people. And plus, y'all just finished testing, and man, I know that's stressful. Stressful because you want the kids to do good, because you want to know that you did a good job teaching them and maybe they learned something. And then secondly, you're just stressful." We used to call them the CAT test, the California Achievement Test. Y'all remember that? Remember those, Winston, with that? I can remember when it was testing week. The only thing I liked about it was I got to carry an extra Little Debbie in my lunchbox. Amen. But other than that, for a kid with ADD, and as Dr. Hyatt says, ADHD, she's diagnosed me, those were very stressful times, you know, and you had to color in the circles and all that stuff, and it was tough. But my point is, it is such a blessing to be a part, and I want to say thank you to our entire church family for your embracing the vision of investing in young people and those who lead them and are responsible for their education and guidance. That is very important. But I want to talk specifically not just to you guys that are graduating, but some of you will be graduating next year, some of you the year after that, and on after, some of you, Jackson, you've survived a year down at the Cal College, and you got a full-blown mullet now, so it's awesome. I can see they're having a great impact on you. But no, I'm kidding with you, man. He was part of my breakfast buddies for years, and I can harass them in public, and they're used to it. But I want y'all to notice what the word says. Psalms 37. And Ms. Brent, if you're looking for it, look down to about verse 23. Psalm 37, verse 23. And I want to just open the Bible on your lap, and we're just going to talk for a few minutes together. And I want to make a few statements to these young people. And I think their statements, you parents and grandparents, can echo and say, "Boy, this is right. It's really right." Here's what the Word of God says. Psalm 37:23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young, now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loves justice. He does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off." Look at verse 33. "The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a native green tree. Yet he passed, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the blameless man and observe the upright. For the future of that man is peace. For the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. And then look at verse 39 and 40. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Now, I wanted to read that passage to you because many years ago, what's going on, 35 years ago, I was sitting right where you guys are. If you add 35 to 18, you know that's a lot of long time, right? But not many as Debbie and Scott and Brendan and Allen, they're way ahead of me. But that's a long time. But you know, 35 years ago, I had a lot of plans for my life. I had a lot of ideas of where things would be, and there's nothing wrong. You guys setting goals is very good. Because if you don't have a goal, well, you don't have nothing to aim for. And if you aim at nothing, you are sure to hit it every time. So setting goals is good, but discovering God's plan is even better. Because God's plan for me turned out to be quite different than my plan for me. And it may be that that will be your case, that you may have some plans now, and as you seek the Lord, it is very likely that there will be, as Marty uses the word, some tweaking to your plan. Amen? Marty will say, just tweak it a little, right? I haven't learned what a tweak is, but I'm learning, right? But here's a couple things I want to mention to you guys that I'm sure your parents have told you. I'm sure your teachers have prepared you during your senior year for these things. I'm sure that in youth group and through the ministry of our church, you have learned some of these things. But I want to say these directly to you guys. Twice since I have graduated from school, I've had the privilege to speak to the graduating class and baccalaureate last year and in 2018 when my daughter graduated. And I pray for whoever does that every year because it's a great honor and it's also should have a great impact.
Sadly, you're not required to go now. When I went, you better be there. Sadly, you're not required to, but you need to. And you don't need to miss those things that are very important. Let me just mention a couple things from Psalm 37, and I'm going to get out of the way, and we're going to have a time of celebration together with y'all. There's a few things you need to know that a lot of people won't tell you. Everybody tells you to reach for the stars, but you need to reach for the hand of the one who made the stars. Everybody will tell you the future's so bright, you got to wear shades. Bam, there's 80s kids, right? Everybody will tell you all these things, and thankfully we do live in a country where you can aspire to do great things. But I want you to know, regardless of what you do, you write this down, hard times will come. You're going to stand in a group of your graduating class, and you're going to disperse, and it's quite different than it was in my day and days, folks older than me. Some folks you will not see nor hear of again. We didn't have social media. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't have any way to stay in touch. People didn't write letters very much because dudes don't write letters to dudes, right? So girls do that. They have like a little pen pal group, But no, y'all don't have to do it. You can stay in touch better than we could because there's other ways, but life's going to take you a lot of different directions. Some of my best friends from high school are still my friends today. God has taken them in different directions. He took me to Egypt for 2 decades, and I spent, on foreign mission field in the state of Georgia. And even though communication became easier, everybody had their own thing. And one of the things that was hardest for me is when hard times began to come to people that I loved and cared about since I was in kindergarten and younger. Hard times are going to come. But the real litmus test is, what are you going to do when they come? One day you may have a child that is born sick. One day your wife, boys, will get sick and you won't know what to do. You may not have the money to take her to the doctor, right there, dads? Take them anyhow, don't you? You figure it out.
You do whatever it takes, and you'll get to the end of your rope, and you'll say, I don't know what to do. You will consult with others, and there is safety in a multitude of counselors. But when hard times come, the best thing and the only thing you can do is to cling to the Lord Jesus Christ, to follow His way, because the psalmist was very clear that your steps need to be ordered by the Lord. And Proverbs says a good man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So the fact of hard times coming, Mom and Daddy, y'all can all agree on this, they're going to come. And when they do come, what we need to leave for our young people is a testimony and a witness that they see us going to God when the hard times come, so that they too will do the same thing. Amen? Hard times are going to come. Well, let me say another thing to you today. Not only will hard times come, but there are going to be a lot of times you're going to want to quit. Tyler, that engineering is going to be tough, even at Auburn. Sorry. It's going to be tough, right? It's going to be hard. It really is. I'm cutting up. It's tough, ain't Jackson? You're in architectural studies, right? Is that a step above engineering? No, I'm kidding. It's all good. I'm just saying, whatever you're studying, even if it is milking cows and slopping hogs, there are going to be some times you're going to want to quit, aren't you? Dads of these young people, moms, there's been circumstances come up in your life that you've had times you just want to say, I give up. I shared last year at the baccalaureate of a time I wanted to quit. I basically did. Because when I first went to college, I didn't do good. You know what, Paul, they told me? See, when I went to Cleburne County High School, they told me, you better be here every day or we're going to call your mama and she's going to beat you all the way up the street till you get here, right? I thought I had to go. I went to JSU and they said, hey, you only have to be here 75% of the time. So I counted up Monday, Wednesday, Friday classes. That meant I had 9 days I didn't have to come. I thought, this is heaven on earth. So I started counting up. I started spacing out my 9 days. But here's one thing they fail to tell you, is if you only show up 75% of the time, you're probably not going to pass the class. And that's what happened. And I fell flat on my face. And I was embarrassed. Had a 1.0, Tyler, after my first semester. It's impressive, isn't it? I had 2 C's and 2 F's. I was taking a whopping 12 hours. Oh, yeah, man. I was shooting. I mean, you know what I got a PhD in? Shooting pool down at the TMB building. I was awesome at that. I really wasn't any good at it, but I spent a lot of time down there. But they didn't give grades for that. So I was embarrassed. You know what I did? For the first time in my life, I quit. I'd never quit anything. I had no quit was a four-letter word. I said, I quit. I'm a failure. I'm just going to go to work because I'm not fit to be here. But that's when God broke me down to where He said, I've got you where I want you. You planned your way. You didn't let me plan your way. You planned your way. And because you planned your way, I'm going to break you down to where you're nothing, and then I'm going to build you up and put you where I want. See, what God was wanting me to do was what I'm doing today. I thought I could not do this. I thought there was no way. So God broke me down and built me up. But you know what? When I went back and I first went to New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary to begin to get a degree in biblical studies and Christian ministry, I went to sign up. They said, well, we'll need transcripts of any place you've been to school before. I said, just don't worry about that. They said, well, you need to get credit for your event. I said, yeah, I'll just take them over, you know, because I had 6 hours, baby. And it only takes 120 seats to get a bachelor's degree, so I was 120 hours away. They said, well, you really, so I reluctantly let them give me credit for those 2 C's. I had a 1.0 when I started at New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary. When I graduated as my bachelor's degree, I had raised a 1.0 to a 3.67. And I want you to know something, guys. God taught me the value of not quitting. I fell, I stumbled, but He didn't let me utterly get cast down. Went on to finish the master's degree, 3.75. You know what? That is nothing for me. That, you know what that means? I am N-O-T-H-I-N-G. Doesn't, that paper on the wall doesn't make me anything. But what it did teach me was, is to not ever give up just because you fall and skin your knee. Amen? And because you get a bloody nose or whatever. There are going to be times you want to quit. Don't do what I did. Go in there and get after it to start with. It'll save you a lot of heartaches and a lot of money. Because you won't believe this. When I first went to JSU, it was $50 an hour. Yeah. $50 an hour. And if you took more than 12 hours, $600 was the cap. You could take 18 hours a semester for $600 back then, Tyler. How about that? With no scholarship. And now they don't do that cap thing no more. And I just noticed they're raising it again. Aren't you parents excited? I'm glad my daughter graduated nursing school a few years ago. I was dying. But you're going to want to quit. But don't quit, guys. Listen to me. Don't ever quit. What was it Rocky Balboa said? Life ain't about how hard you can hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. Here's the third thing I want to say to you. And this is going to be the hardest thing for you. This was the hardest lesson I ever learned in my adult life, okay? Now, moms and dads, I want you to think for a minute, the hardest lesson you ever learned. Yours may be different than mine, but this was the one for me. And that is this: people will surprise you. Y'all with me? There will be people that you grew up having lots of respect for that you think were right there with Jesus, Peter, James, and John. And they will surprise you. There will be people who will tell you things through your adult life and your professional life that will be false when they say it and false later, but they'll make you believe it. Anybody with me? There will be times you will feel forsaken. There will be times you will feel stabbed in the back. There will be times you feel like nobody cares, and you will be surprised sometimes. But here's what I want to encourage you to be and everyone in this building to be. Be the kind of person that when you surprise people, you surprise them by your goodness, your graciousness, and your faithfulness, not your unfaithfulness or lack of grace or lack of mercy. Amen? Always make sure your surprises come and going above and beyond, not below. It will happen. People will fail you. We are human. We can only be in one place at one time. I learned this early in ministry. I tried to be everywhere for everybody, and I like to drove myself absolutely insane. And finally, I had to realize at some point down the line, somebody was going to get disappointed because I wasn't where they wanted me to be, when they wanted me to be, and I was just going to have to learn to get over it. Amen? And so were they. Now, I learned to get over it. Not sure they did, Keith, but I'm just saying, you will have that stuff happen. But that brings me to the last thing. Not only do you realize you're going to have hard times, there are going to be times you want to quit. People are going to surprise you and hurt you, and it's going to stink. But the last and most important thing you need to know is that God's character never changes. He will always be faithful. In 2 Timothy, the Bible says this: even when we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Now, moms and dads, think back over your life, man. Think back to when you were sitting in the seat of these young people so many years ago. Think about the times you got surprised, you got hurt, you got rejected, the times you wanted to quit, the times you face things you never thought possible you could ever live through, but yet you saw the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God who sustained you when you couldn't figure out how to hold your head up. Amen? All of you could name, and if we stood here, we could stand here for hours, and we could list on a chalkboard, or chalkboard, that's so archaic. Hey, a smart board, yeah, okay. I was going to say dry erase, but that's old school too. We could take a smart board up here like Dr. Phil's got, and we could just list all these different things about the hard times you faced. Maybe you faced a sickness. Maybe you faced a cancer diagnosis. Maybe you've experienced the loss of people you love. I mean, Gary, you never thought in 1988 that you'd be here experiencing what you went through with meningitis, and Man, I tell you, that was the hardest thing, I guarantee you, for your family. I can only imagine. Not just you personally. But what I saw, Ray, was this church family prayed. This church family gave. This church family served. This church family supported. And, man, I tell you, that's why you guys don't ever need to go through life without a church family. Wherever God leads you in life, if you move your furniture and you move your suitcase to a place that you are no longer in this vicinity, I want you to plug into a Bible-believing church. I will help you. And I want you to serve God, and I want you to make friends, and I want you to have brothers and sisters in Christ, because there's times we can't be there, but God will always be there, and He will supply the people around you that you need to help you through your darkest time. Sammy Gilbert taught us that God never gives grace in advance. This is one of the greatest truths. Just a few months ago, in January, He never gives grace in advance. He always gives grace at the point of your need, and He always supplies more grace than you need. You need a church family. Jackson will tell you it's hard to find one in Auburn, Tyler. I won't tell you that, but no, you may have to go somewhere else to start a driveway. Just come home and see your mom on the weekends. Is that right, Venetia? Is that what you want me to tell him? Okay, mama told me to tell you. Just come home, see your mama, and mama will make sure you come to church, right? No. I want you guys to know that God loves you. And if you really love God, now listen to me. If you really love God and you love Jesus, then you love what Jesus loves. Let me tell you how much Jesus loved the church, that He went to the cross to purchase us. None of us have been nailed to a cross for anybody or anything lately, but if we were willing to do that, it would be of something or someone of great value, right? You know how much you matter to Him? You matter so much to God that He willingly gave His only Son. And you matter so much to the Son that He willingly gave His life. Nobody took it from Him. He offered it. That is so He could have a relationship with you. We have seen God transform lives in our student ministry. We've seen God begin to work in families. We've seen God do awesome things. But I want you to know this, no matter where you go, you will never outrun the faithfulness and the goodness and the grace of God. So I just want to leave you guys here on this senior day. And look here, as I tell you guys every day, our door and our heart's always open to you. Every year we finish football breakfast and all that, I tell those guys, you'll always have a friend at Heflin Baptist Church, no matter where life takes you. But wherever He takes you, make sure that He's ordering your steps. I bumped my head, and I skint my knees, and I bloodied my own nose trying to figure out, tell God, there's no way I could be a pastor. I wanted to replace Bear Bryant. Nick Saban got what I wanted. Amen. I mean, y'all think this is a big deal. Just think what someone with a Christian testimony, with Nick Saban's influence would have been huge. I don't know where God got that wrong at. But anyhow, but that's what I wanted. But I'm reminded what God told Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's womb, those pictures we had, Tuck, the little spiky hair, and Crow looking like he's a gunslinger down at the OK Corral. You know, God knew you guys before you were ever formed your mother's womb. Here's what else He told Jeremiah. I'd already ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. He's saying to Jeremiah, I already had a purpose for your life. And here's the advice I always leave our seniors with. And I tell my daughters when they were growing up, and I still tell them that they're both graduating in their careers now. Always chase God's heart with all of yours. You be like David and pursue the heart of God. Don't pursue Him haphazardly. Don't pursue Him flippantly. Pursue Him with all your heart, and there you will always find what's in His heart for you. Pray with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You for this group of young people and their parents You have entrusted to us. I thank you for this congregation that loves you and serves you so faithfully. Now, Father, I pray, dear God, right now, God, that we would offer our prayers and offer our intercession on their behalf. And God, that you might do great things as you continue to mobilize this church ministry to touch the world. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want you to stand with me. And here's going to be the invitation today, okay? And this could be a real special time. It could be a great thing. You see these six seniors, Paul, Kaylee, Ryan, Peyton, Tucker, Tyler. Not Taylor, right? Tyler. Got tongue tied. These six kids right here are part of our legacy, right? We're sending them out into life, and they need the support of our people. Maybe here in the congregation today, some of you just come by and just tap one of them and say, I'd really like to go pray with you. And just come gather around them here in the altar, just pray over them. Maybe you have a decision you need to make about the direction of your life. Maybe you're not a follower of Jesus and you realize you're walking aimlessly with no purpose or direction, and you need to surrender to Christ today. Maybe you're a child of God and you realize, man, God has touched my heart to be a part of a church that is on mission with Him, investing in young people, investing in a community, sending mission teams. Well, whatever it might be God leads you to do today, would you honor Him with your decision? Marty, lead us when you're ready.
Make us our prayer this morning. Lord, I
Lord praise and amen. Thank you. You can be seated. And you're being seated. Our ushers are coming. While they're coming, I'll ask you a question, church. Can you really tell that there is a congregation of people here that really care about your youngins? Can you tell that? Anybody? Amen. I know I can. And I tell you, we're after seeing young people get to know the Lord while their hearts are still tender. Amen. Because hearts get hard sometimes, don't they, Joseph? Now, you work in Piedmont every day, so you know about hard hearts, don't you? Kidding. I love Joseph. He's a good buddy, and we're grateful to God. So as you give today, and when we finish today, I'm going to share something real quick with you, and we're going to go downstairs, okay? Let's join our hearts together, and let's ask God's blessings on our giving. Thank you. have something to share with you before we go downstairs. As you know, we've been working toward, we paid for our first van, and we're working on paying for the second one, and almost there. And the other day, you're going to kill me for not telling you this before I took up offering, but I did that on purpose. But anyhow, the other day, I had to go into town, and I had to go where I wasn't intended to go in. You ever do that? And I forgot something and had to turn around and go back and was really frustrated because I frustrated with me, not nobody else, just me. Well, golly, I had to go. When I had to turn around and go back, I encountered this man who watches our service online, has not, you know, attending service. And he just says, "Hey, I got a question for you." And I'm not knowing what it is. You know, most time people say they watch me online, the questions they have are usually not positive. You know, but anyhow, no, I'm kidding. No, he says, "I understand y'all are trying to finish paying for this other van, and you know how much you like?" I said, "Well, last count I heard is about $5,000. And he said, "Well, if you've got about 5 minutes, I'll just write you a check." I had all the time he needed, man. All of a sudden, my schedule cleared, you know. And but I'm telling you that for all this reason is God orders your steps. I didn't ask the man for a red cent. Y'all know me. I'm not a prophet for profit. I'm not a prosperity guy. No, that I'm just a guy that believes God. I got a Savior. Got up from the dead, and I can't get over it. And he said, "Yeah, it's been a blessing to me, the online service." And so, Steve, keep pumping her online, amen. But no, so as right now, you know, whenever the other one comes in, well, it looks like we're in the clear. We still got to do some lettering, and we put step bars on the first one. We should be getting the other one soon, hopefully in time for children and youth camp. We're holding our breath on that. But nevertheless, there's still trails to be blazed, church, amen. I mean, I'm not here for any other reason than that God sent me here, but I believe he sent us here to blaze a trail, and that's not just me, that's all of us. There's going to be facility needs, there's going to be, you know, the Hart's house is going to be coming down soon. They should be opening this week, so we'll begin clearing over here. We'll begin filling in back in the back for more parking. What God does with us for more worship space and other space in the future is still yet to be seen, but we know it's coming. So your faithfulness doesn't end because you accomplished one goal. Your faithfulness must be transferred to every succeeding goal. Amen. So I thank you for your faithfulness in the past, and I encourage you to remain faithful in the present. And look here, this week, if you have to turn around and go back and do something you wasn't supposed to do, there may be a reason God's got you there. Amen. It may not be for your benefit. It may be for the blessing you're about to pass on. Amen. So God is good. Don't forget, right after service, going downstairs for Cinco de Mayo, El Señoro, Sendolfo. Amen. So make sure you go by there and do that. Marty is going to sing us out. If you need help getting to the fellowship hall, you can come to the Welcome Center. And don't forget, church, I love you. Ain't nothing you can do about it. Amen. Stand with me if you will.